I'm Helen.
And I'm Liz.
And we're sisters,
scientists,
and lifelong X-Files fans.
And this is We Want to Believe.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back.
Welcome, colleagues.
We have a very special episode today.
We are joined today by Mallory Marlowe, who is the author of Love and Other Conspiracies. That came out on the same day as my book. I think we had the same book birthday. And it's a really great rom-com about a web series producer and a cryptid hunter falling in love. And the tagline is, they want to believe. So it seemed like, as soon as I heard about your book, I was like, oh, she needs to be a guest on our podcast. This is so serendipitous. Like, a book coming out the same day as mine with, like, something related to the X-Files. So,
Mallory, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on this show. And, you know, I had such a great time watching this week's episode. So I'm really excited to chat about it. I'm Mallory. I am the author of Love and Other Conspiracies. Like Elizabeth said, it came out on August 20th of 2024. And she described it quite well. But there definitely is a lot of X-Files influence. They have a skeptic and believer dynamic. The hero absolutely wrote X-Files fan fiction in high school. Like, he would be all about this. And so, you know, I love all things aliens and paranormal. And so I am really excited to be here and chat.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
So we're going to talk to Mallory a little about her book. And then we're also going to talk about War of the Coprophages, which is one of our favorite episodes. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. And then any updates about podcast stuff on your end, Helen?
No, I don't think so.
Have you listened to Muskrat Love?
Yeah. No, still have not.
Okay.
No, I have.
We are issuing a challenge because are you familiar with the song Muskrat Love, Mallory?
No, I'm not.
Okay. It is terrible. It's from the 70s, late 60s, 70s.
70s, I think.
It's horrible. It's like famously bad, but it was popular at the time. And it is about two muskrats falling in love.
It's an apt title then, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's like, it's exactly what you paid for. Yeah. Like what it says on the label. It got brought up. We went on a tangent about it. And then in between episodes, I listened to it and it is so much worse than I even could have imagined. And so I'm interested in getting people to listen to it and seeing at what point they naturally sort of give up and turn it off. I haven't even managed to get Helen to listen to it at all yet, though. So
I'm going to have to do that after
please
this.
Please do. I would like to report.
Report back.
It's like 3.5 minutes long, roughly. And I mean, they were some of the longest 3.5 minutes of my life.
So. I mean, I did make it through all of Katy Perry's Woman's World. So I feel like I can probably handle it. That was a rough one.
I haven't heard that. I've read articles and think pieces about how bad it is. Muskrat Love is Captain Tennille, and it is slow, okay. And that the muskrats have sex, and it's just it's rough. And then I think the only other thing I was going to bring up is Helen. This is also about music, as it happens. I was listening to, just randomly it came on, a Scissor Sisters song.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that when we were younger, I would like force you to do jazz hands, was it?
Oh,
I was trying to remember what this was.
Yes.
What was it that happened there? I believe it was the song Intermission, where it has that like...
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
There was a, you know, I'll listen to it and then also report back because I remember, and I've listened to it recently and I could recall doing that.
Yeah.
I just recall off the top of my head.
Yeah. I just remember us being in the car and me like
making,
I guess, as the older sister, somehow having the authority to be like, go on and do the jazz hands. And you do them with a real like, look on your face. Like, I don't want to do the jazz hands.
I was still an adult at this point.
Yeah, we were adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. This wasn't like when I was a teenager and you were 9 and I'd be like, let's play the fun game where we clean my car as fast as we can. So
it was a great game.
Yeah.
So Mallory, I have all sorts of questions about your book. I thought it was fantastic.
Thank you.
I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm curious. So I was looking up, are you in LA or from LA or?
Yeah, I am originally from New Jersey, and then I went to
Okay.
college in Boston, and then I moved out to LA after college. So I've been here for about like 8 years now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it had such like great specific LA details
Yeah.
that I was
Yeah.
wondering while I
It's
was
hard.
watching
It's
it.
hard to not write LA as a character in itself. It's just so such a unique place that it makes it a really fun setting because it is kind of just ridiculous. Like
And I really liked it though, because I feel like LA, like New York, is one of those places that stuff often gets set. And
Yeah.
so I think somebody that didn't spend a lot of time there, it wouldn't have the same level of specificity, you know, and
Yeah,
like it
totally.
really feeling it.
Yeah. I try to only write things in locations that I've lived because I'm like, I want to be accurate. I don't want to like piss anybody off.
Yeah. I wrote a thriller that's on sub right now, and most of the thriller takes place in Amsterdam. But when I was reading the draft, I realized my main character at some point, halfway through the draft, it was before I sent it to my agent, moved from Vermont to Maine, apparently. She'd like be thinking, because
Oh,
it took place in Amsterdam, but she'd like think back about her house and her life in Vermont, and then suddenly it was Maine. And
yeah.
I was like, and it's because I think I don't know either place very well.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have set this in a state that I know, but I know Amsterdam well, so that part was
Yeah.
fine. But I was like, I
That's
don't
what
know,
counts.
Northeast, they're all up there.
The leaves are
So,
pretty everywhere up there. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
it's fine.
But yeah, so sorry, Helen, to go off that.
No,
But yeah, I love
that
the
was,
LA details.
yeah, part of it. And I am not familiar with LA. I mean, I've been there once or something. But you could tell that you were, which I thought was really cool. And I was curious if you have any, I felt the same way about all the like web development show stuff. Like that is something I'm totally unfamiliar with, but like you, I feel like you captured the world of that really well.
Thank you. Yeah, I work in entertainment, or like I got my start in entertainment. So, I went to film school, and then when I moved out here, I worked in talent representation for a while. So, like at a talent agency, and then I had interned at production companies, and a lot of people that I went to college with interned at BuzzFeed, or like then went on to work at BuzzFeed, and like the old BuzzFeed building was right across from our like college's LA campus. So like I was always seeing like Try Guys and like, you know, all kinds of stuff like at the Starbucks down the road that I would go to on my way to my internship. So like I kind of had a little bit of inside baseball knowledge of like how those types of startups work. I lived with somebody who worked at a similar type company that was really like digital media focused. So I had a pretty good idea of how a lot of the, like the company culture at those are. And then, I mean, there's a lot of overlap with entertainment too, especially in regards to like toxic workplaces and some of the people that work there. So I feel like I did have a little bit of insider knowledge there. But I mean, I think the closest comp is definitely like BuzzFeed. I've never like shied away from the fact like it's a lot like BuzzFeed.
And that's what I was kind of making it in my brain as I was
Yeah.
reading. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
This is a really specific question. I obviously I want to talk about the main characters. I want to talk about the plot, but I also want to talk about the Denver airport because you mentioned the Denver airport, and I think I've talked. Have I talked about it on the podcast before, Helen? You know I'm obsessed with the Denver airport.
Yeah, no, I know you are. I don't know, though. I'm not
Okay,
actually sure.
so for our listeners, I'm obsessed specifically with the horse. Blucifer, they call him. It is an enormous statue of a horse with glowing red eyes outside the Denver airport that killed its creator.
Wait, what?
Yes.
It did. It was
No,
like
I did not
he
know this.
was
With its laser eyes. No.
Yeah, I think he was like sculpting it, and then like a piece of it fell and like cut his like femoral artery, and he just like bled out in his studio. It's insane. I'm like, that is
Whoa.
cursed if I've ever
No way. Oh my gosh.
So
Whoa.
I'm going to Denver in March. And
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you that, Helen. I'm going to Denver in March. It's real goofy. We're going to see How Did This Get Made live on stage. This podcast that we love,
That's so
for like two
fun.
nights. But I'm like really excited to see Lucifer. So
Yeah.
see if he kills me.
Right?
So yeah, Do you have any strong thoughts about like what about the Denver airport, about Lucifer, about the airport in general? Like what how, do you have any memory of how you decided to include that those? I'm like, it's such a teeny tiny part of the book, but I was like, ooh, I'm gonna ask her about the Denver airport.
Yeah, I mean, I find it to be fascinating. And I listened to a really interesting podcast about this. It was like a
Ooh.
two-parter. And I was like, this, it's just weird. Like, I don't have like I like Hayden try to like avoid like talking about the Illuminati and stuff because I'm like, there's so much problematic, you know, history to that. But I do find it really weird that it's so big that they spent so much money on it. The horse is bizarre. Like the murals are strange. I just think like a lot of choices got made in the creation of the Denver airport that I'm like, who did that and why? But one of the funny things is like at the origins of them making it, one of the things that took them so long and invested in was like a self or like an automated like luggage carousel. And like, so that way they could like save money on having people tossing the bags on the carousels and stuff. But instead they put like millions of dollars into this like carousel that was basically just throwing bags at people. So it was like kind of violent. And they were like, okay, well, that's not gonna work. So it's like they blew all this time and money and they went so over budget because for a long time they were trying to figure out a way to like get rid of like, you know, the baggage people. And it just instead was like a violent suitcase throwing machine that did not end up coming to fruition at all. I'm like, what was going on there? Like, they were all like on silly pills or something because it's just such a bizarre location.
Yeah, that's really strange. Well, and that was one of my questions was I was curious, like, how did you decide which? So the in as part of the plot, they're investigating cryptids and other supernatural phenomenon. And I was curious, like, how did you decide which ones to include? Like, were they the ones that you're most interested in or you knew the most about? How did you make
It was
the choices?
a little bit of both in the fact like I picked ones that I liked and then I mean the locations they go to I kind of thought logistically about like where can they go because like the Queen Mary is only about an hour from LA the Roosevelt is in Hollywood and so they those were like local things that they could do on a pretty like cheap budget and then you know going up north to Northern California to look for Bigfoot and go to the Winchester Mystery House those were kind of like you know obvious things where like they could do that on with the budget that they had
That makes
but then I
sense.
also wanted to like add in a little not just cryptid hunting but like other conspiracies so there's like an episode about the JFK assassination the Dyatlov Pass incident Bermuda Triangle and so I tried to kind of like space them out so it was like cryptid ghosts conspiracy. And so
Got
that way
it.
they weren't doing like a ton of stuff like all back to back. It wasn't like here's like five episodes of cryptids in a row. But I also like thought in terms of the characters, like what kinds of conspiracies and like hauntings and stuff would just make them kind of go off the rails? Like what would bring on the greatest banter for them? And so sometimes it required like being a little bit silly and like really just going for like the wackiest parts of the conspiracy theory so that they can like go on their own little go on their own little like banter tangent together.
Have you been to any of those places? Have you?
I haven't been in no wait that's not true. I have been into the Roosevelt Hotel. I haven't
Oh,
stayed
cool.
there. I'm actually going with some friends like next week to go like grab dinner there and you know bring the copy of the book with me and be like it happened here and then I stayed overnight at the Queen Mary a couple years ago and it's very cool. I did not experience anything haunted but it's old. It is
Is
old and
it?
it shows like it's really not as glamorous as you would think it is at all, especially the hotel rooms are kind of sad.
You know, Helen and I stayed at a haunted hotel in Chicago and recorded an episode of our podcast there last
That's
year.
super fun.
And it was honestly a very similar experience where like the lobby was super, super fancy. And then you get to the rooms and you're like, this is old. Like it
Just a
has
hotel
like
room.
And it's like we got two beds and it's like twin beds and just kind of like it's like the God, what was the name of the hotel we were at?
I mean, I don't think this was
We were
last year.
just
I think this was earlier this year.
You're right. So I should be able to come up with the name of it, right? The Drake, of course. We stayed at the Drake, and it's 100 years old, and there's supposed to be multiple ghosts and like Yeah, it had the same like energy. Like the room was like, yeah, kind of,
It
it
looked like
wasn't bad, but like, yeah,
dingy, like a little bit.
like,
Yeah, I was like, oh, I do not feel like a fancy passenger here. It's like we don't even
No.
have air conditioning. Like it's hot.
That's brutal.
Yeah, it was a little rough. I'm glad that we went in like January versus like
Oh,
June. That would have been really rough, really rough.
I wonder if like a lot of fancy old places that like also have that going on, where it's like maybe this style of room felt really fancy in 1904, and or maybe it just hasn't been refreshed in a long time because it's huge and whatever.
Yeah, and I think like in a way they're trying to preserve the history, like they can't like totally gut everything and redo it, 'cause then it's like it, you know.
Especially on a boat. I don't know.
Yeah,
That seems
exactly.
extra.
And
I mean, I don't know.
that boat is already having like so many issues, like there's like a threat of it actually sinking like
Oh,
into like
wow.
the bay or
Oh,
you know whatever.
my
Yeah,
God.
they're like trying to like restore it and figure out like how they can like fix it and stuff. It's been an ongoing thing for a while. But yeah, they're probably not putting a whole lot of money into touching up the
Into the
rooms, but
rooms.
it's like the vibe. Like you do feel like it's like 1935, like when you're there.
Like I felt like we didn't see anything spooky, but I would have believed it. Like it had the right like spirit, so to speak.
For sure.
I found myself while reading your book, like really rooting for them to find something. Like, and I do not I tend much more towards the skeptic side of things, but I like was like really wanting them to find stuff.
I mean, so does Hayden. I feel like I also would love to see them find things. But I feel like for the sake of the book and the moral of the skeptic and believer thing, I was like, I'm gonna leave it up to interpretation there.
So do you feel like, I guess I have like kind of two related questions, like reading it, like when I was reading it, I was kind of tr wondering like what you believe, and like wondering if what Haley, Hallie,
Hallie,
Hallie, sorry, Hayden, because Haley is their
Yeah, their
couple
ship
name.
name, yes.
I was wondering, like, does Hallie have the same beliefs as you, or are you more like Hayden or somewhere in between?
I am much more of a Hayden.
Oh, awesome.
I feel like I'm pretty like into a conspiracy theory to like a reasonable degree. Like if something's just like, you know, ridiculous. And they're like, but aliens. I'm like, there's no actual reason that aliens would have done this. Like, that's dumb. Or, you know, something where people are just like really pulling out like so many coincidences in order to make something happen. I'm like, no. But like, I love the idea of like, we can't explain this thing or we don't know what it is. Like, I like the mystery of all of it. And I think that that's where Hayden's coming from too, is like a sense of curiosity and wonder and like, wouldn't it be cool if this was the case? Like, we don't, you know, we don't know. We don't understand these things. So I'm pretty open-minded. I love going down weird internet rabbit holes and just like learning new weird things about the world. So I definitely lean more towards his side. And it was sometimes hard to be like, well, I don't want to write Hallie like disproving this. I don't believe that.
Oh,
She's
that's
just being
interesting.
difficult.
And so then this is, I don't know if I'm, how do I phrase this question? Although you made it ambiguous in the book, in because you're the author, do you know, have you decided if in their world the cryptids and the conspiracies are real or not?
They are real,
Awesome.
which I am working on a project right now that would be set within the same universe. They would
Oh,
appear,
cool.
in the
Oh, I love
book as
it.
like a little cameo. And
Yeah.
in that story in particular, very much so, like ghosts in the paranormal are very real.
Oh,
So
awesome.
in their world, it is real. Did they find any of it in the course of Love and Other Conspiracies? I don't know. But you know, they can keep looking. It maybe one day. Like
And I will
season
say,
three.
I mentioned before we started recording that I once was a guest on a podcast and spoiled the end of my own book and then had them erase it. I almost just spoiled the end of yours. So I was like, and then of course, and I'm like, oh, what am I
Well, we
doing
should
here?
maybe cut this out because I feel like you even saying that you almost spoiled it.
Oh God, you're right.
So, I mean, it's up to you,
Thanks.
Mallory, but
I think you kept it pretty vague. Like, because even in the text, it's like very like, did they see something? I don't know. Like, so I think it's very up for interpretation.
Okay, cool.
I like
Yeah,
that.
because I'm like tempted. I want to talk about the end and about like, final confrontations with the villain and everything. But of course, no, we want, I'll just say like, I enjoyed it.
For sure.
And not ruin it.
I did really enjoy the fact that like the confrontations, the tension and all of that, it wasn't because of something with their relationship. Like I really enjoyed the fact that like you wrote a healthy relationship and like any sort of drama or anything was not like someone not talking to the other or kind of like a comment. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it was tough. It initially did have like a third act breakup, and then my editor was like, they wouldn't do this to each other. I'm like, you're right, they wouldn't. And so we changed it in developmental edits like a year two years ago. And I'm like, it made the ending so much better, I think.
I
So
really liked it.
she's a genius.
I loved that there wasn't a third act breakup. I felt like almost some tension as I was reading of like, oh no, what's gonna happen that's gonna
You're like,
make, some understanding?
no.
And I'm like, oh, it's not. Cool. Like the conflict and everything that they're dealing with is coming from outside, and it is a really good model of a relationship, showing like something really healthy. So
Thank you.
What are you currently working on?
I can't really say a whole
Ooh.
lot, because it hasn't been announced yet. But I am working on another paranormal romance. And then, gearing up to promote Love at First Sighting, which is the second book. That it follows different characters, but it's very much so in the same universe as Love and Other Conspiracies. And it is very X-Filesy as well. It is about a social media influencer who believes she sees a UFO, and the attractive man in black that is sent to work her case. And
That's awesome.
the reason he's so interested in it is because he saw the same thing right before something really tragic happened to his family. So they're trying to like uncover this mystery together. So it is a lot more like an episode of the X-Files than Love and Other Conspiracies was. There's that dynamic in this one, but I'm like, no, we're actually going to go looking for some aliens in this one.
Awesome. Oh, that sounds so fun.
Yeah,
That's
it's
awesome.
a really fun book. I'm very eager for people to read it, and I hope they have as much fun as I did writing it.
Yeah, I read the first chapter because it was at the end of the version of Love and Other Conspiracies that I had, and then I was like, no, I want to read this bit.
And that's why I never do that. I cannot, I never read the like bonus chapter because I just like then I get into it and then I'm like, I'm like, I have to wait.
You're like,
Like,
I have a
I'll buy
year to wait.
it anyway.
Publishing is so slow.
I know.
It's slow until it's not, and then it's really
Do you have a release date for that one yet?
Yes,
Or is that?
that is August 12th of next year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Exciting.
And then like I wanted to ask how like when you started getting into writing fiction, did you set out to be like the author of specifically like paranormal type romances? Like was this like were you like I am all in on like the weird stuff? Like was that your plan?
No, it definitely wasn't. I have been writing since I was in like middle school, and so I have done like every genre, under the sun, just experimenting and finding what I liked. And like I definitely in my professional career would love to branch out and write other genres at some point too. But like the first couple of romances that I was writing were not paranormal. And I think that I kind of learned quickly that like the more I lean into the weird, the more I have fun with the book. And that like that's really like the element of my voice that I like the most. And so it just, I'm kind of like, oh, well, now I found my niche. So I think I know what I'm going to stick with.
And it's like this one has done great, I know, and like USA Today bestseller, right? Yeah, that's all. Congratulations. That's so
Thank you.
awesome. And so I could see where like from the publishing perspective, it's like, hey, this is working. Like, let's do it if you're enjoying it. So,
Totally. And I mean, like paranormal romances blowing up. Like it's having a really big moment right now. And, you know, I think that as the genre expands, people are kind of looking for like for it to grow in a way. So like I think that's why we're seeing things like, you know, the horror romance and like adventure romances and stuff. So I think that people are like branching out to change genres and incorporate other elements into their romances, which is really fun. So I'm excited to see where the genre goes in the next like 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not a big just like straight up romance reader. I very much enjoy romance in other genres. So this was fun.
Is there anything else you want to share about this book, your next book, anything else that like you want to make sure gets said to people? And if you can't think of anything now, you can also add it later.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think we're good for now.
Okay, cool. Then maybe we should switch gears and talk about War of the Coprophages.
Yes.
Also, let's start with, am I saying that right? Because they don't say that word in the episode.
No, they don't.
So, okay, we'll go with it. I have a
I
long history of pronouncing words real wrong. So, like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
If they wanted it to be said right, they should have said it in the episode.
If none of us know how to say it, then we're fine. It's fine. And it's probably
So,
fine.
are you a big X-Files fan in general? I mean, there were a lot of, you know, allusions to it in the book, and so I kind of figure, but
I do. I love the X-Files. I have not finished the series. And the reason being because one, it's long. Like they don't make TV shows that long anymore. And I honestly, I miss it like hardcore. Like the 22 episode season, man, I would give anything for a lot of shows to come back to that. But I watch them in like chunks at a time because I actually start to get like nightmares about like being paranormally implicated in a crime. Like I like my fear of getting in trouble like really flies off with the X-Files because I'm like, no, it wasn't me, it was a demon. Or like, no, it was the killer cockroaches. Like I didn't do it. So like I have to like take breaks. So it's taking me a long time to get through the series, but I do love watching it. I mean, it's a classic for a reason.
We've been, you know, we were really, really into it. Back in the day, I watched it in college. But it has been a long time since I've seen a lot of these episodes. And I mean, this was one of our favorites. And there was so much that I'd forgotten doing this rewatch. I don't know how it was for you, Helen, but like, just to kind of set up the premise for our listeners, that's Mulder is out of town. Look, because there's been some lights in the sky that he thinks could be aliens. I didn't take notes on this week's. I was just
Oh,
assuming that
I
you
did.
did.
So I can.
Perfect. You can jump in.
You were just
I
talking,
was
so I
just
figured I'd
watching
just
it.
let you go for it. And yeah, so he's out of town. Scully is not with him. So it kind of follows. I hadn't realized until I was watching and taking notes, they're really only like actually together for like the last couple of minutes. But it's mostly them on the phone while Mulder is investigating these weird bugs. I guess cockroaches, we can call them. There's, you know, we're not entirely sure what they are. So it kind of follows him and like consulting with Scully, and it's one of the more fun episodes for sure. And
We just
do you know if you've seen this one before, Mallory? Had you?
This was my first time watching it.
Oh,
Oh,
really?
really?
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was like horrifying, but really entertaining.
I was more grossed out than I've remembered being. I was like, th this is, ugh. I was eating my lunch while I was watching it. And because the episode sort of goes back and forth, alternating where Mulder witnesses or comes upon a body with the sheriff, and like, we have seen the death scene and we've seen all these cockroaches. I was reading a little bit about it, and I guess they had some cockroaches on set, which apparently, like, the cockroach trainer was really professional and the cockroaches did a really good job. People have said in interviews that it almost seemed like she would just talk to them and they would just do it. And that, like, none of them died. It was all like very good. But then they also had a ton, like, I think a lot of what we saw are fake cockroaches that they built for it special with like new, like, advanced fake bug technology, which seems really fitting. But like, fake bug technology to make rubber bugs, not like robot bugs, like in the
Right.
episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has this rhythm of you see an absurd death, kind of involving cockroaches. Mulder calls Scully, describes what happens. We see Scully doing something at her house that gets kind of increasingly funny. And then she explains a rational explanation for it. And he's like, oh, I guess that must be it. And then something else happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the scene with the kids doing drugs, I did not care for that. We see a cockroach burrow into someone's arm. Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
and like we know that he's imagining, he's the
Yes.
kid is on drugs. It's not actually burrowing
Yeah.
into his arm. But I know
Still
that's
didn't
like a
care for
very
it.
real problem that people can
Yeah.
have, which is, I mean, another reason to not do drugs, as far as I'm
Yeah.
concerned.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, I was like, I mean, because I don't have that crazy of things happening to me, but I do have enough anxiety that I worry about that stuff happening.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so while I was traveling, oh God, actually, this is going to sound crazy. Helen, do you remember when I was like, it was
yeah.
my middle of the night, I was in
Yeah.
Europe, and I was up in the middle of the night texting my mom and sister, taking pictures of a bug bite on my back and making them look at it. Like, we were in a bunch of different hotels. My husband and I have a travel company. And so we were like gone for 2 months and we were in, I don't
Yeah.
know, 11 different hotels or something. And I just kept thinking, bed bugs, bed bugs, bed bugs. It
Yeah.
was like all I could think about. And I have dry skin. I get very itchy at night. And so I kept thinking, either I'm going to get real bed bugs or this is going to go down this road where I start thinking bugs are attacking me when they aren't, and I'm going to be one of those people. And then I talked about this on another episode. Like, the second to last hotel we stayed in had an ant infestation, and I like everywhere. Like, I was not into it. I mean, I'm not especially afraid of ants, but like they just it
Just
was
too
too
many.
many. Exactly. Yeah.
Now,
And it just felt like, this is it. I'm gonna lose it.
living in LA, I'm assuming you're probably more familiar with cockroaches. I don't know what
Yeah.
is that. Okay.
So they live in warmer climates.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been like fortunate, knock on wood, that I've seen like very few like in my like living spaces.
Oh,
Like
that's
you'll
good.
get them occasionally. Like at my last apartment, like our door, it was an old place, and so like the door wasn't fully flush, and so like we would get spiders and stuff. And like one time we did have like a cockroach wander its way into the apartment. The cat corralled it excellently in the bathroom. She did a wonderful job. But my roommate, her first place out in LA, I did not live with them at the time, had an infestation. And it was like one of those cases where they just like they didn't catch it within that period of time where like the apartment building was accountable for it. It like then was like you're accountable for it, but it was obviously like a building-wide issue. It was
Oh my
nothing,
God.
it had nothing to do with them being messy or anything. It was just like the catastrophe. And they were mostly like the tiny little baby ones. So like they weren't like the giant ones like in this episode. But they did get those occasionally. And so I had stayed over there a couple of nights, and like, they would turn the lights off and like, okay, now that the light is off, you can't go in there anymore. That it belongs to them at this time of night. Yeah, there were just like certain parts of the apartment that they had like relegated. They're like, that belongs to the roaches. So it
Scary.
is a recurring problem. Like it's a problem in LA. And like as I was apartment hunting for my current place, I ended up seeing so many roaches in these places. And the leasing agents are like, that's not a roach. It just is a random bug that got in here. I'm like, I have eyes. I'm not stupid. That is a giant roach. I will
Oh
not
my
be living
God.
here. It's a thing here. So I see them. I hate them. I don't like bugs, like period. So
Oh, this must have been real fun for you
it
then watching this one. I'm so
yeah. I was
sorry.
it's okay. I mean, it was fun. Like I'm just glad they're not near me. They're fake, it's fine. I wasn't eating like you were, so
I think Helen, I think you were with me. One time I saw a roach in a subway in the
oh yeah.
South when we were, and we
We
just
were
walked right
there.
out. It was on the
Yeah,
counter. We
yeah.
were just like, goodbye. And then I think the only other time I saw a roach, I was in California, but it was a friend of a friend's Madagascar hissing cockroach pet.
Oh.
So I just remember walking into the room and then backing out and just being like, nope, we're not going in there. And it had like a whole nice like terrarium, like it had
Yeah.
like a whole
Good for
atmosphere
it.
for it.
Yeah.
It was like it was living a
You're
great
supposed to be
life.
there.
And he was a big guy, and
How
I
big?
was
I mean, I know it's been a while,
okay,
but
look,
like, do
so
you
it
have
was
any
like
sense?
2005, and I had a drink or two, but what I remember is I'm concerned my fear is going
Like,
to
you want
make
to
it
say it's
bigger
like
than it
this
was.
big or
Well,
something?
like as big as like a ferret. No, I mean, what I want to say is like, okay, a little bit shorter than this, but the same depth as like a Snickers bar.
Oh God, too big,
And yeah,
too big.
now am I making it a little bit bigger in my mind than it was? Maybe, but I'll tell you this, it was definitely bigger than a Twix.
Oh,
Yeah.
I really
So.
wish you hadn't related it to candy.
At least it's not Halloween. Then you can at least avoid like the Twix until you forget about this.
That's true. I mean, it just seems like the best thing for scale. They're brown. I don't know. I don't need to double down on
No,
why.
don't,
Yeah,
please.
I won't. I'm sorry.
We get it.
The summer of 2016, I lived in Cyprus for a month, and which was very warm. And we just had our doors and windows, I mean, everything was open all the time because we didn't have air conditioning. And so it was like, and there were just roaches all over the apartment. It was
Really?
less bad in our apartment. But some of the people that I was working with who were in a different kind of shoddily built
Okay.
apartment.
But yeah, if I recall, what I heard about this was these other grad students were living in like something that was basically like a tarp and some plywood under someone else's second floor deck. Am I mixing things up?
It was not a tarp. It was
Okay.
MDF board, which is better.
Like
But yeah,
particle
no,
board or like.
it was not like an actual apartment though.
God, that's so sketchy.
But one of the women that I was working with was laying in bed reading. I know I've told this on the podcast before, but was reading a book and at night, and one came over the top of the book.
No.
Yeah, I know. I was so horrified. It was
Yeah.
awful. Yeah, it was
Yeah.
bad news. We had a lot of, and they were big.
Big guys,
They were
yeah.
like the ones in the episode. They were, yeah.
Like a Twix.
You
Okay.
know, I have celiac disease, and so I haven't
Oh
had a
yeah.
Twix in a really long time, to be fair. So,
Fair enough.
it's
Well, there you
hard
go. Then
to
you're
say.
fine.
Yeah, you're safe.
I do like Snickers.
Oh, Snickers are gluten-free. Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
yeah,
Oh.
yeah.
So
But
yeah, the episode is
yeah.
kind of like the cockroaches aren't killing people. The cockroaches are involved in situations where people keep dying, but they're not killing them. And Scully keeps explaining. She mentions, oh, this common hallucination of people taking drugs.
Anaphylactic shock. And
Right.
yeah. It's
I think somebody
interesting.
just has like a heart attack. Yeah.
Right. Liz, you and I know, have talked before about like, is Mulder always right? Like, we feel like a lot of times we set up as like, Mulder has this outlandish theory and Scully's trying to prove him wrong. And then, like, no, Mulder is actually kind of right in some way. And I feel like this one was a little different in that now, like, as we get further into the episode, we realize that they have metallic parts. They're like,
Like a
some of
metallic
them.
exoskeleton, some of them have. Yeah.
Which obviously is not like normal.
No. But it's also, they're not killing people. Like Scully is right. And also Mulder accepts that she's right. She'll be like, should I come up there? And he'll be like, no, I think you're right, you know? Yeah, in one of the scenes, I just want to shout out to Queequeg. Her dog, her Pomeranian, is there. She's washing him in the sink, and I was thrilled to see him there. That she acquired from a few episodes ago. We now know because he ate someone who died. He didn't kill them, but he was eating his owner, and Scully ended up adopting him. So it's nice to see him. I feel like, given how much they travel and like, have to run off to like, oh, Mulder's on a train car and they gotta go here or whatever. I'm like, who's watching Queequeg? I want to know the logistics of Scully's dog sitter's life.
Or like, I
Because
mean,
I. her mom, I think, is local.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that would make sense.
What was, so I'm curious because I've seen this one so many times. But Mallory, you said this was the first time you've seen it. What was like your impression of it as an episode? Like, what did you think?
I love like the Monster of the Week episodes. Like
I do too.
I like watched like a ton of Supernatural like in high school, and I mean there's so much like you can see all the influence that X-Files had on that show. So I just love the ones that are kind of self-contained and bizarre. And so this was a really fun one to have, and I felt like the banter between the two of them really popped off in this episode. Like it's always really good, but I do feel like sometimes it's like a little bit more like light hearted or like it was a funny episode. Like, you know, you open with Mulder being like, I'm just sitting and thinking, and he's sitting alone in his car, or like, you know, the recurring woman whose name is Bambi was just
Dr. Bambi.
hilarious. Like, her name is Bambi. Yeah, it was a great episode. I like, so like where I am in watching like all the way through is just a couple of episodes prior to this. So like
Oh, great.
yeah, I'm on a deadline, but like I thought about like just watching all of it, and so that like I had, so I was like missing like maybe like the two or three episodes before that,
Ooh, you
until
have
I was
some
like
good
totally caught
ones
up. I
coming up.
know.
Yeah, Nisi and 731 are good, but not in a Monster of the Week way. So you just got through a whole bunch that I find kind of a slog. Like I did not care that much for the walk or the list. I kept we all this is a special week. We tend to alternate. One of us watches it and then talks about it and kind of leads the discussion or whatever. And I just kept hitting these like really kind of dreary, grim, depressing episodes. And I was like, I remember season three being fantastic. And now I'm just like,
Was
well, I guess it's
it?
the paraplegic guys killing everybody.
Oh
And
my God,
like,
right? That
yeah. And
was
it's just like, okay, people are just, so he's trying to burn himself. And I'm like, why did
Yeah.
I watch this? This is rough. I mean, I know why I watched it now, but so I'm like, we were like, okay, we need to watch a fun one. If we're gonna make Mallory watch an episode, it should be a fun one. And the one after this is Syzygy, which is also incredibly fun.
Oh, is it?
It's the one with the two teen girls who are kind of like going off the rails, causing all sorts of shit in this small town. And there's like a there's something where like I know Saberdance is playing in it at some point and like on TV and like there's a little bit of like astrology or something and like something is going weird and I just know there's something where Mulder says to Scully, come on Scully, get those little legs moving. Does that ring any bells? Like that's like they're both like kind of getting weirdly hostile with each other because of this influence of like these two teen girls are like making this whole town weird. I don't remember the details that well, but I like it a lot. It's a good one.
Well, that's good to know.
More about this one. So they find out there is a research facility outside of town that is dealing with robots. And so Mulder goes to check that out.
So at first, so he ends up meeting, we alluded to Dr. Bambi, but he ends up meeting Bambi Barenbaum, I think her last name is, a USDA researcher, who has a house in town basically full of cockroaches, that she's studying. And then she tells Mulder, they're talking about it, they talk about how parts of the ones that Mulder had found are actually metal. And so she suggests he reaches out to this other scientist who has a research facility nearby who is making robot insects. And so,
And I really like in the scene where Mulder meets Bambi, they do a lot. I think they do a lot of this in this episode. Like they really call out stuff that we've complained about in other episodes where Mulder is just so awful to Scully, where he's just like, gotta go and hangs up. And she's like, what is happening? Where are you? Like, you'll see it, Mallory, in a few episodes very dramatically at the end of one episode that's a two-parter. But I love that. Like, yeah, he's talking to Scully on his cell phone, going into this house, realizes there's like moving walls because there's all these cockroaches inside the walls, and then yeah, somebody's there, and he just hangs up, and it's like, like good. Like, I love the self-aware sort of jokes.
Yeah, and Dr. Bambi is very pretty. She's like very,
Yes.
very much, Mulder is clearly interested
Into her.
in some way. And so, right. So Scully keeps calling him concerned, and he's being very typically frustrating.
And I kind of wondered, like, would I be annoyed about that? Like, the idea of like, oh, sexy woman scientist or something. But I don't know if it's just because I love the writing in this episode, because I have a lot of affection for it historically or what, but like none of it really bothered me. Like I was still like, I mean, I felt like the joke was more about Mulder being kind of awful to Scully and him being into this woman, and like it didn't feel, I mean, it was kind of heightened and ridiculous, like but not, it didn't feel sexist or something, I didn't think.
No, definitely not. I mean, like, she obviously knows what she's talking about. It's not like she's just like conveniently hot and a scientist who's bad at her job. It was like she just happens to also be hot, and Mulder is just a man. He's just a guy. What is he gonna do? And I mean, like, especially from a romance perspective, it's like obviously like everyone is, wanting the two of them to end up together. Like, everyone wants the Scully and Mulder action. It's like you gotta slip in some, some complications every now and then, and make it be like, no. He's supposed to be with her, not her. Yeah, he is just like he's very one-track minded.
And I liked, like, I do think from a like Mulder and Scully perspective, if you're watching it wanting to see confirmation that they do think of each other that way, seeing how irritated Scully is about it, that like her name is Bambi, like that whole thing is sort of gratifying of seeing like, oh, she's jealous.
And then so but they end up the robot kind of conversation never really goes anywhere. I mean, like, so they talk about like how there's, Mulder's thought at this point is that they basically could be aliens, the cockroaches, that like if there were to be, advanced life on another planet, wouldn't they send like robots to investigate, basically, which I
Which I
thought
thought
was
was,
right,
go
kind of
ahead.
timely. I mean, like with the Mars rover, and like it kind of felt like
Matt Siegler, a previous guest on our podcast, is a scientist who has worked on the Mars rover. And
Oh,
so
that's so
we like
cool.
had like a whole Mars episode where we talked to Matt all about Mars. And so yeah, it kind of reminds me of that like it's like a little, it's like a big robotic bug in a way.
But yeah, we don't ever really find out what the deal is with the bugs or robots or whatever they are. But they eventually find out that so one of the people that originally witnessed the first death and then was in the hotel for one of the deaths, is the alternative fuel scientist in town. And Scully realizes that he is working with methane and is working with high amounts.
Is Scully up with Mulder at this point?
No, no.
Okay,
So
because I
she's
need to
still,
talk about the scene when she comes up, but you do your
yeah.
thing.
So she still is on the phone with him. And are you talking about the car crash scene? Is
Yep,
that
you know
what?
about this as well. Yep.
Yeah. Do
Have
you,
you?
Mallory? Do you know the
Well, our
backstory?
listeners might not, so we'll have to
Okay.
talk about the car
No.
crash scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Scully eventually is like, I'm coming to town. So she gets into town and she goes to a supermarket and she's looking for a
Like a
roadmap.
convenience
Yeah,
store,
it's like madness in there.
And
Yes, and it's like total madness. Everyone is buying the spray that's called Die Bug Die, and which earlier we had seen her giving Queequeg a bath with Die Flea Die.
Oh my God, you're right.
That's really
Yeah,
funny.
it's the same brand.
And everyone is like panicking, and someone saying like they're spraying Ebola virus, and like everyone is,
Did you sort of feel like this is how the town of Pawnee, Indiana, would react, like in Parks and Rec? Like if this happened to them, this is how the citizens of Pawnee would react? Like,
No, but I agree now that you've said it. As Scully is getting to the store, we see a car crash into another one, like just like a
as she's
that
walking
sort of
into the
thing.
store,
Yeah.
yeah,
And
behind
it's
her.
like, illustrating the general chaos of everything that, people are, there's accidents, no one's paying attention.
Yeah.
But that actually happened, I believe, is the story, right?
Yeah, that
Right?
it
That that was a
wasn't
real
planned. They were
accident.
supposed to just pull up really fast and stop, but they drove into the other car. And so that's why
Oh my
when Scully
God.
turns around to look at it, it's kind of a long pause. And then
Yeah,
it's
she's like,
like,
whoa.
yeah, but then they just went with it.
Yeah, that's
So
super
I believe it's
interesting.
actually credit to Zach for sharing that. That's how I became aware of it, is
Oh,
Zach
yeah.
shared it. Yeah. So
Wow.
I love that.
I hope no one got hurt.
Yeah, I don't think
Yeah, I mean, I
so.
would assume not since they kept
Yeah,
filming, but I know, right? Yeah.
right.
So Scully is in town now. She tries to calm the people down in the store, kind of not real successfully. She finds out where to go. And so,
And
they're at the alternative fuel place. She's going to find Mulder.
right,
Yeah.
because she realized that this researcher has been importing dung from other countries.
Yes. And so
And
she's like, that's probably where the cockroaches came from.
right,
And
yes.
also, there's a bunch of methane. And so it's a fear that the researcher is like all paranoid and he's got a gun and it's explosive, the methane gas and everything. So.
Yeah. And Mulder gets there with Bambi. And tells her to, stay in the car, and he goes inside the factory, and then Scully eventually pulls up and says something along the lines of like, "You must be Bambi," or something. And she
Yeah.
said something like, "Oh,
Yeah.
Fox, blah blah blah," and she
Right.
calls
Yeah.
Mulder
Yeah.
Fox, and Scully looks
Yeah.
pissed.
Yeah. I was like, "Ooh,
Yeah.
man."
And Bambi asks again, like, "Should I come with?" And Scully is loading her gun and goes, "This is no place for an entomologist." And then goes inside, and eventually the researcher thinks Mulder is a giant cockroach,
That's right, yes.
and is like out to get him, and the cockroaches are out to get him, and then Mulder's phone rings, which sounds like a like hissing noise, essentially, like the, kind of, I mean, the,
Yeah, I
yeah,
guess. To that
right.
guy, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he starts shooting, and the factory explodes. And it ends with them all kind of like outside in the rain. The sheriff is there. I can't think of the, and I didn't catch it to write it down, the robot scientist
The robot
guy. Oh,
scientist who has
yeah.
kind of a Stephen Hawking vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, him and Bambi sort of go off together, like they're gonna
Right.
fall in love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Scully talks about their Uber children in the future being able to
Oh
save
yeah.
them from
Yeah. Yeah.
and then it ends with Mulder taking notes and dictating, and he's eating a cookie that's like a clearly chocolate looking cookie, and this like giant weird looking beetle is like crawling across.
And it looks like, I mean, it's very clearly meant to look like this is an alien bug, like, I
Yeah.
think. And yeah,
Yeah.
and I think, and then Mulder kills it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, which I feel sad about because I am creeped out by bugs, but I also won't kill them.
Yeah, I feel bad.
I'm a cup and paper person.
Yeah.
I will get them in the car. I don't like it, and I once called our mom when there was an especially big, I think, spider in my house and was like, I just need you here with me emotionally while I catch this spider. And just, I mean, and this was, I don't know, like within the last year. It wasn't like when
Yeah.
I was like 21 or something. So
I
yeah,
like
I'm
that you
like,
use 21 as the example and not like, 12.
well, I lived alone, you know, so
Yeah.
I figured, you know, it's not like it was my first time catching
Right.
a spider in the wild. No, that's not right.
Yeah.
On my own, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this episode felt like, other than like, I thought they really filmed those cockroaches for a long time and had some trouble with it. But other than that, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's
Yeah.
fun and well done and well written.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's Darren Morgan, who's one of their great writers, who's done a lot of their like famous episodes. He also did Jose Chung's From Outer Space, which we talked about, like was really good and funny in parts, but then ultimately sort of a downer ending. You probably just watched that one semi recently,
Yeah, it
Mallory.
sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Why do I keep doing this? I always mix up
You
the
mean
names of those
Clyde
two
Bruckman's Final
episodes. I
Repose?
mean Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. Why do I always do that? It's a first, well, because it's a first name, last name,
Yeah.
famous episode. Yeah, I meant Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose.
Right, with the guy who can who like can see the deaths of others.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, I remember this episode. Yep. Yeah.
So it's the same writer, and but I feel like this one had a much lighter vibe ultimately, and
Yeah.
happier ending and everything. So
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was the episode. It was great.
yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I really, really liked it. I do want to know, I think we asked the Mars scientist when he was on. I know you said you're more of a believer, more of a Hayden in your book world.
Yes.
But do you believe in aliens? What are your
Oh
thoughts?
yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Like I'm an Aquarius, and like the joke is always like whenever you like check your astrology apps, like all the Aquarius stuff is always like aliens. Like you're out there, you're
Oh,
weird. Yeah, it's
really?
like you're like associated with aliens because Aquarius people just tend to be very odd. So
Oh,
like
funny.
I was kind of like doomed by the narrative here to be a big alien girl. But I totally do. But at the same time, I'm one of those people who doesn't really want to know the truth because I think the mystery is more intriguing than like what we actually find out would be. So yeah, but I mean I tend to always be like, well, I mean, Mulder's onto something here. Like it could be. And it's like, sure, there are these practical and probably more likely options that Scully is bringing to the table, but like, but what if, like,
And yeah, I'm somebody who's like, I absolutely believe in aliens, but I pretty much don't believe they're here. Like, I'm sure I'm 100% or nine, whatever. I'm as certain as I can be that there's life somewhere for
yeah.
sure. Like, I teach physics. I have a background in physics. We talk about the Drake equation and like how
Yeah.
likely it is, right, that there's life on other planets somewhere. And so I think it's very, very, very likely. But I think probably little green men or the grays with the big eyes and everything.
Yeah.
I personally am like, probably not. But that doesn't mean I'm not scared of the idea of them if I'm like alone at
Terrified.
night near some corn or something.
Yeah.
Like we grew up in an area with more cornfields in
Yeah.
Illinois, and like, yeah, they're, I don't know. I associate those types of aliens with corn, which is maybe just from the movie Signs, but
Oh my
like,
God, that
yeah.
traumatized me when I was younger. Like,
It is
traumatized. It's a
terrifying,
really
right?
scary
It's and
movie.
it's PG-13, but it is like one
Yeah.
of the scariest movies ever,
I
in
mean,
my opinion.
I think like what it does so well is that it's not just like you only see the aliens so sparingly, and they do it in very quiet ways, which makes it like scarier. Like I just think about the part where they're in, in the cornfields, and then they see the leg moving, or like when he's looking out the window and you see the alien step behind the chimney. Like those are like very like quiet, eerie moments where like, oh my God, like yeah,
100%.
they do such a great job with that aspect and not making it like cheap jump scary. Right. Yeah.
Which is so much scarier.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I think we should wrap it up. Mallory, do you have anything else you want to say? Do you want to share where you're at on social media or anywhere people can follow you, your website, anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. So I am most active on Instagram. And my handle there is at Mallory Marlowe Writes. I also am on Twitter, X, whatever we call it now, at Mallory underscore Marlowe. And that's the same on TikTok while we still have it. So,
Oh yeah,
but
I
I
just
don't
heard
post
about
very
this.
often there.
And we'll also share Mallory's info in our show notes and everything so you can see that.
Yep, and August 12th,
August
2025
12th,
is when your
yeah.
new book.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Very exciting.
Well,
Of
thank you again for coming on and being a guest and talking about an
course. Thank
episode
you
with
so much.
us. This
Thank you
was
for having me.
great.
It was so much fun.
Yeah,
Good.
awesome.
And yeah.
So next week we'll talk about Syzygy, and it'll be fun. It's a good one. Another good one.
All right. Thanks for listening. And you can rate, review, subscribe on
Do all that
Instagram.
stuff you're
We're
supposed to do,
at
everyone.
We Want to Believe Pod. All right, bye. And thanks again, Mallory.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We Want to Believe is hosted by Helen Werner and Liz Holden. It's produced by Zach Werner. The We Want to Believe theme music was created and recorded by Zach Werner. Find us at wewanttobelievepod.com, on Instagram at wewanttobelievepod, or send us an email at wewanttobelievepod@gmail.com.